Hey, everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast. And I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello, beautiful friends. I am in the Grand Canyon, and it is magnificent. So many times I think we get so wrapped up in our own worlds, in our own realities, whether things are going well or things may be going very bad. Sometimes we don't realize that there's so much more going on other than just what's going on in our world. I want you to take a moment to truly see everything around me, to notice that we truly are much smaller than we think we are. We forget that there's so much more going on outside of our own realities. So my friends, I want you to just take a moment with me to feel inner peace, inner stillness, to notice that all of this beauty behind me is also deep within yourself. My friends, take a nice deep inhale. Slowly fill up your belly. You allow that breath to rise up, shoulders back, and then vocally exhale. My friends, invite your eyes to close and take a moment to settle down. Take a moment to release anything that does not serve you now. And I want you to feel as if the wind, the breeze is passing through you. I want you to feel lightness now. Feeling peace and tranquility. As you take another deep inhale, filling up your belly, you allow that breath to rise up. Allow those shoulders to go back. Allow the chest to be open. Hold the breath. And then vocally exhale, release. Connect with something greater than yourself. Allow the soul to connect with nature. Allow your soul to connect with that higher power. Allow your light to shine. And as we allow all of these beautiful things, we let go, we release any heaviness that we're holding on to. We release any fears that we have. We let it all go. You allow yourself to feel light and strong, magnificent, glorious. You allow yourself to feel this inner peace that is happening deep within yourself. Take another deep inhale. As you allow the belly to rise, you allow those shoulders to go back, holding the breath. And then you vocally exhale, release. My friends, take just one more moment to connect back. Take a moment to recognize that all the beauty around you is just a reflection of yourself. What you see is what you are. What you experience is what you believe. Your truth becomes your reality. Remind yourself every day that you have a choice, and that choice is perspective, that choice is love, that choice is true connection. My friends, gently open up the eyes. Let's inhale, arms up overhead, palms touching. We're going to meet at heart center.
Good morning, Heartway family. Thank you for tuning in to another week of Heartway at Home. So glad that you're with us. Miss you tremendously. I know I've said that before, but I'll continue to say it over and over and over again until we're able to be back together. Who knows when that will be? I think for the extended season that we're in, this is what Heartway is going to look like. But we're making the most of it, and we're so grateful for all of the engagement that we've had from you guys as we've continued to do this Heartway at Home experience, and just so thankful for all the love and the encouragement that you all have been sending to my wife and I, and to others of our leaders as well. God is still changing lives. God is still at work in the midst of this community, and it's been beautiful to see that, hear about it, and be a part of it, even though things look like this. So in light of all of that, this weekend, I want to talk to you about facing an uncertain future. We are living, obviously, in very uncertain times. The future is very unpredictable. We don't know what's coming next. And this unpredictability is causing a lot of unease in people. Uncertainty has the ability to trigger within us fear, anxiety. And the way that a lot of us try to cope with the fear and anxiety that is experienced within uncertainty is through avoidance. We try to avoid uncertainty through worry, through overthinking. So the way the mind works is we try to eliminate uncertainty by overanalyzing situations until we can find some sort of certainty about what the outcome is going to be. So for example, if you're afraid that you may lose your job, if you're anything like me, maybe you'll start overanalyzing that situation until you can find some sort of certainty in your mind about what's going to happen in the future, and then you begin to act accordingly as a way to keep yourself safe. Well, the problem with that is trying to avoid uncertainty in the short term only produces more fear and anxiety in the long term. And so one of the mental shifts that has to happen in order for us to be able to thrive in uncertainty, because listen, uncertainty is all we have. And so the only place there is to thrive is in the midst of uncertainty. The only way we can thrive in uncertainty is by coming to the recognition that uncertainty is not bad, nor is uncertainty dangerous. The reason why we fear uncertainty is because we believe that it is dangerous. This is why in times like this that are so chaotic, so many people turn to fundamentalist religion, identity politics, or they become overly zealous or obsessive and argumentative about information that they find out online about what's happening behind the scenes in our world. All of this is our attempt to try and find some sort of solid ground on which we can stand. It's a way for us to try and regain control and stability in a world that is rapidly changing and that is so obviously out of our control. It's the way that we cope because it's what makes us feel safe. See, for us as human beings, some of us would rather have a made-up mind than an open mind. The ego loves making up its mind about certain issues as opposed to having an open mind that welcomes various viewpoints and multiple realities. The thing about it is, when your mind is made up, that means that you are fooling yourself into thinking that you're safe. But the moment your argument or your intellectual belief gets threatened, you take that personally, and then you begin to have an identity crisis within yourself, which means you're not really safe at all. Because every argument has a hole in it. There's always another side to the discussion. And so what happens is we try and feel safe by making up our mind. When your mind is made up, however, you're no longer teachable. And when you're no longer teachable, that means you cannot grow. You cannot change. You only seek out information that confirms your own biases. And you try to eliminate anything or anyone else that is saying anything that seems to contradict what you believe to be true, because what you believe to be true matters deeply to your identity. And so this is where the issues begin to arise for us. On the other hand, if you're able to have an open mind, if you're willing to let go of certainty, then you begin to drop your expectations on life and on what life should be, and you become open to all possibilities. You become open to the subjectivity of human nature, and you recognize that every viewpoint is a view from a point, and that people who have had different experiences than you are going to arrive at different conclusions, and you learn how to be okay with that. You embrace that, and this openness actually leads you to wisdom as opposed to the closed-mindedness or the made-up mind that always has to fight and always has to be the aggressor. Again, because there's a personal identity, a sense of self that has been attached to the beliefs that you're holding on to. In the Hebrew scriptures, there's a story about a man named Abraham. Abraham is considered to be the father of our faith. And God calls Abraham to leave the land of his upbringing, to leave his family and friends, to leave all that he knows, to go into a land that God will one day show him. And God makes him a wonderful promise in this story that through him will come about a great nation. And out of this nation, all of the nations of the world will be blessed. Well, look at what the scriptures say about this unique calling and the faith response of Abraham in the story. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. It says, "It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home, go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going." He went without knowing where he was going. That's faith. Faith is about continuing to move forward, trusting in God, even when you don't know where you're going. Faith is about trusting God in the uncertainty and with the uncertainty. Abraham, if you continue to read his story, like many others in the biblical text, experienced much of his life in the wilderness. If you read Abraham's story, he was wandering most of his life in the desert and in the wilderness. And in those ancient times, the wilderness was a symbol of the in-between spaces that we find ourselves in our lives. It's when you're in that in-between space from where you once were to where you are going. A lot of us, we want to rush past the in-between spaces of our lives. We don't like the wilderness. There's too much ambiguity. There's too much uncertainty. There's too much tension. There's too much not knowing. However, it is in the wilderness, and we see this in the scripture over and over again. It's in the wilderness. It's in those in-between spaces of your life that God meets you, that God provides for you, that God molds you, that God shapes you, God transforms you, God prepares you for what he has in store for you. So instead of trying to rush past the wilderness spaces of our lives, let's learn how to get comfortable there, because we spend the majority of our lives in the wilderness, in between where we're coming from and where we're going. In the New Testament, there's a story in the Gospels about Jesus' disciples freaking out, getting anxious, getting worried because they are uncertain about their future. This rabbi that they've been following, I mean, they left everything behind to follow this man, Jesus. Well, he keeps talking about the fact that he's going away and he's going to a place where they cannot follow. And so they're going to be like sheep without a shepherd. They don't know where to go, where to turn. They have no leadership. And they start talking and sharing about how that makes them feel anxious, not knowing what's ahead. Did you know that Jesus responds to his disciples by actually telling them, it is for your benefit. It is for your good. It is to your advantage that I'm leaving. Because now that I'm leaving, the Spirit of God is coming to lead you and guide you yourself and to remind you of everything that I have taught you. In other words, don't cling to the past. Don't resist change. Follow the Spirit's leading into the future, even though you don't know where the future is leading and where the future is going. That's what it means to have faith. I like to think about faith like walking in the dark or learning how to see in the dark. Of course, at first, you're not going to have much clarity. You're not going to be able to see. But over time, the longer you stay in that darkness, the more your eyes begin to adjust. And before you know it, you'll have just enough clarity to be able to take that next step and then to take the next step after that. There's this one story about a Japanese general who decided to take his army into battle. And the people in his army did not want to go because they knew that the opposing army outnumbered their own. But this general wanted to move forward with his decision to go to war. And so they did. But before they did, he spent some time with his lieutenants and some of his best soldiers. And he said to them, listen, I'm going to flip this coin. If it lands on heads, that means we're going to win. If it lands on tails, that means we're going to lose. And so we won't go. So he flipped the coin. It landed on heads. So they went to battle. They were encouraged. They were excited. They felt that destiny was on their side. And they ended up winning the battle. Well, afterwards, this general was having a conversation with these same leaders in his army. And one of his men said, you know, I'm so happy that we went to war. I'm so happy that we fought that battle. And he said, you just can't change destiny. And in that moment, the general proceeded by showing these people the coin that he had tossed. And on both sides of the coin, it was heads. In other words, this guy knew already. He was already convinced that he was going to win before he went into battle, which is why he won the battle. Faith is somewhat like that. The only difference is we're not having confidence about what the outcomes are going to be or what the results are going to be. We don't put our confidence in life turning out the way we want it to be, which is how a lot of us treat faith. Faith is about having confidence in God, in God's character, in God's nature, in God's power at work in our life. It's knowing with a deep confidence that no matter what the situation is, God is with us and everything is working out for our good and all things are working together in perfect synchronicity and that we're always exactly where we need to be and that because God is on our side, the best days of our lives are ahead of us. So the question that I want us to tackle today is, how can we deal with uncertainty without being overwhelmed by it? Again, because some of us are drowning in this uncertainty. And I want to teach you how to be able to swim in the uncertainty because these are the only waters that we have to swim in. We live in an uncertain world. So I want to give you a couple of tips about how to do that. The first one is this. Know that your mind will imagine the worst possible outcomes. When you are in an uncertain place in life, your mind is going to envision everything that could possibly go wrong. And when this happens, you have to know the ego will have this tendency to overestimate the effect that possible negative situations will have on our lives. And then we begin to underestimate our own ability to adjust to and cope with and adapt to those situations when they come. Here's what you need to know. You are so much more resilient than you think you are. You have all of the tools at your disposal that you need to be able to make it through whatever uncertainty it is that you are facing right now in any area of your life. And whenever you do enter into that situation that you've been imagining in your mind, if one of those worst case scenarios were to happen, you've got to know that the grace of God will be there to meet you in that place. You will never be left alone. The same Spirit that created all things and that sustains all things and that continues to move all things in our universe forward, this Spirit of ingenuity and creativity, this power lives inside of you and is always at your disposal. This is why the scriptures teach us in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, give all of your worries and cares to God because God cares for you. Worry pretends to be useful, but it's actually useless. Worry doesn't prevent suffering from happening in the future. It just causes you to experience suffering now. Worry doesn't stop bad things from happening. Worry just makes you believe and act as if those bad things were already happening. And so you've already counted yourself out before you've even started, because this imagination you have about the horrible things that can happen in the future are basically already being acted upon as if they were true in your mind. Better to let life unfold the way that it does, trusting that there will be grace for us every step of the way, that we're never alone, and that we really are resilient enough as human beings to be able to adapt and to change and to adjust to life in whatever way that we need to. Know that you can trust in God, but you can also trust in yourself. You've been in situations before in the past when you've had to adjust and you've had to adapt and change came suddenly. You made it through it then, you will make it through this now. You don't have to rely on yourself. You can rely on the grace and power of the Spirit at work in your life. Here's a second tip. Focus on what you can do now. Focus on what you can do now. This is something that I've practiced in my life. When I sit down with people and they're going through crisis in their life, sometimes I'll have them do this exercise with me. Get out a pen, get out a sheet of paper, or type this on your computer, or put it in writing somehow on your phone. Make a list of things that are in your control and things that are not in your control. Fill that list out, and this will help you to discern and determine the difference between unproductive worry and problem solving. Problem solving is good and necessary. Unproductive worry isn't going to help anything in your life. It's just not. So look at that list. Anything that is out of your control that you want to give energy and focus to is simply going to produce more unproductive worry in your life. But those things that are in your control, everything on that side of the list, that is going to lead you into problem solving. And that is where you should be putting your focus and your energy. Not on worrying about a bunch of things that you just don't have any ability to change or do anything about. And so learn how to focus on what you can do now in this moment. Don't get caught up in all of the bad things you're imagining about the future. Focus on what you can do right here and right now. Something else that's really good to do, I've done this for a while now, and I recently found out that this is actually a technique that's used in cognitive behavior therapy, which is designate an allotted period of time as your worry time. Maybe that'll help you. I've noticed that sometimes there are things that I just latch onto and attach myself to in my mind, and I can't just let it go. I have to worry about it a little bit. Well, if you have to worry about a situation for whatever reason, which again, you don't have to, but the ego makes it seem as if worry is necessary and that worry is the responsible thing to do. Nevertheless, if you feel like you have to, designate some allotted time as your worry time. Take 20 minutes to go through all of those repetitive and circular arguments in your mind. That's all they are, by the way. 90% of our thoughts are just repetitive and circular and useless. Give yourself some time for worry. And once that time is up, bring yourself back into this present moment and focus on what you can do now. That will probably go a long way in helping you. And it'll help you get it all out. Here's the next tip. Put your situation in perspective. Put your situation in perspective. Anytime you are overwhelmed with stress, worry, fear, anxiety, in that moment, you've probably forgotten about the bigger picture. In that moment, you have probably lost sight of the fact that God is the one that is writing your story. And yes, you may be in a really difficult and uncomfortable chapter right now. All of us are, collectively, as a community. But this chapter isn't the end of the story. Your story is still being written. Let God write your story. If you want to stay in a state of worry, by all means, take ownership over your life. But if you want to be free, if you want to live in harmony with life, if you want to experience joy, even in the midst of uncertainty, recognize that what you call your life is really God's life being lived through you. Let God write your story. He's going to write a better story for your life than you can write for yourself. And when you try and write your own story, you force things. And when you force things, you stop flowing with the way things are. And you bring a lot of stress and suffering on yourself. Another thing to recognize and a good way to put your situation in proper perspective is to realize that we already accept uncertainty in so many areas of our life. Sometimes it's unconsciously, but we do live with uncertainty already in so many areas of our life. I may have mentioned this to you before, but recently there was somebody who was talking to me about a lot of the bills that they had to pay and they were worrying about it. And I normally don't take this kind of direct approach, but this is what I felt led to say in that moment. I just said, well, how do you know you're even going to be alive to pay that bill? And I know that seems kind of extreme, but it's actually the truth. You don't know when your time is up. You don't know when the people in your life are going to pass away. It always happens suddenly. You're never ready for it. Uncertainty. Even getting in the car. You don't know if you're going to get in an accident. You don't know if you're going to hit traffic. You don't know what you're going to find on the road. We're uncertain about the weather. We don't even know what's coming next and when it's coming. There's so much uncertainty in life. It's a part of life, a normal part of life. Recognizing that and knowing that every season passes. Every season passes. Nothing is forever. The only constant in life is change. Knowing that will allow you to make it through uncertain seasons and wilderness seasons without freaking out because it's passing just like everything else. So put your situation in proper perspective. The fourth tip is get out of your mind and into your body. Get out of your mind and into your body. One of the best ways to shift your attention from the incessant conversation that's going on in your head, filled with fear and worry and anxiety, is by getting into your body. Get into your body. Movement, very important. Exercise, very important. We already know it's been proven to increase your mood and to enhance your mood and to decrease anxiety in your life. Maybe you can practice what some teachers call inner body awareness. It's bringing your attention in a meditative state to a part of your body and feeling it from within, feeling the energy field of your body, your feet, your hands, your legs, your arms, your torso, really getting grounded in your body. A lot of people have talked about how helpful and healing it is to just walk around barefoot outside on the grass. I have a friend of mine, actually, who he says sometimes the way he deals with stuff, when he's in his house, he just turns on music he likes and he just starts dancing. Whatever works for you. But getting into your body helps. Maybe what you can begin to practice is praying with your body. You know, designating some time when you're alone by yourself and you lift up your hands or you get on your knees or you lie prostrate in the presence of the divine. I mean, there's a lot of examples of this in scripture. We don't have time to show you right now. For me personally, I love doing yoga. I consider yoga a way of praying with my body. Maybe you want to do walking meditation. Maybe you learn how to do some breathing exercises. All of these things anchor you and bring you back into the present moment and help you to shift your attention from your mind to the here and now. All of this is another way of describing practicing self-care. Whatever that looks like for you, practice self-care. Love yourself. One of the ways to practice self-care as well is by getting around other bodies, getting around other people, developing friendships, soul friendships with other people. Loneliness does not help you get through the unpredictability of life. Loneliness makes uncertainty feel a lot worse than it actually is. Get around some people that you can be open with and honest with and transparent with. People who can bear your burdens with you. People who will understand you without seeking to fix you or judge you or correct you. Develop those friendships so that when the uncertain moments of your life come, you're not alone. And also know you have us as a community. That's why we're doing pulse groups now every Wednesday night. You can sign up at heartwaychurch.com. And this is a great way to develop those soul friendships, to get stuff off of your chest, to feel heard, and to allow others to mirror your beauty back to you. Now, the last tip I want to give you is this. In the midst of uncertain times, learn how to follow your heart. Follow your heart. This is so important to do, and I can't think of any better advice than this. Follow your heart. When times are uncertain, oftentimes, you know, we're at a crossroads and we have an important decision to make. That can be so overwhelming for us that some of us just freeze up. We get paralyzed. We get indecisive. We don't know which way to turn, and we're afraid of making the wrong decision, so we don't make any decision at all, which is still actually making a decision. When you're in a situation like that, you can get advice from a million different people. You can read a bunch of different books. You can ask a bunch of folks for their opinion about what you should do. But at the end of the day, you got to make a decision for yourself. And it's helpful to realize in those moments of your life when you're at a crossroads, it's helpful to know that there is no right or wrong answer. There is no right or wrong answer. What matters is that you follow your heart, that you go with that knowing deep down on the inside of you, because the scriptures say that the Spirit dwells in our hearts. So it is in the stillness of our heart space that we are able to listen to God and make decisions in our lives. That's what matters. And if you're going with your heart, guess what? It doesn't matter if other people don't understand. It's none of their business. It doesn't matter if you can't see what's coming up ahead. That's not your business. That's God's business. All that matters is that you have remained true to yourself. Stick with it, even if other people don't get it. There's a philosopher, French philosopher and Catholic theologian by the name of Blaise Pascal, who said, "The heart has reasons of which reason knows nothing of." I love that. And I may have butchered that quote, but it says, yeah, the heart has its reasons which reason knows nothing of. And the great Sufi poet Rumi said very similar words. He says, "The soul has ears to hear things that the mind cannot understand." Let those words sink into your spirit today. The heart has its reasons that reason knows nothing of. It's not going to make sense all the time. The soul has ears to hear things that the mind just can't, doesn't have the ability to comprehend. Go with your heart. That's what it means to truly live in faith and to live your life trusting in God in the midst of the uncertainty. Walking by faith is about learning how to walk with unanswered questions and being okay with unanswered questions. You don't have to know what's coming next. That's exactly what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. It's walking with this knowing that you are secure right now where you are, and that your faith is secure, your future is secure, because you've placed it into the hands of God. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you that you care for us, that you watch over us, that you are with us. Today, we choose to align with your truth, knowing, God, that your power is always at our disposal, that your grace is always available, that we're never going to be in a circumstance without all of the tools we need to be able to adjust and adapt to whatever it is that we're facing in that moment, so we can release the future into your hands. We can learn how to trust you in the uncertainty and with the uncertainty, because all of life is uncertain. But God, when we're walking with you, we can have confidence, knowing that whatever the future brings, all of it is going to work out for our good. And that we're always exactly where we need to be. And so, Father, we're trusting in you. We don't know where we're going. We don't know where this thing is headed. But God, we're trusting in you. That's our prayer today, that you would fill us with this confidence, that you would fill us with hope, and that we would have a deep knowing that we're not alone. Thank you, God, for always walking side by side with us in life. You are the one that's writing our story. It's not our life. It's your life being lived through us. And so we can rest. And we can let life unfold as it will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being with us.